Good morning, good afternoon, good whatever time you're hearing this. Welcome back to the Take What You Need podcast hosted by yours truly, me, Ann Finellis. Before I sit here and talk about me and things that I like and what's going on and dive into topics, how are you doing? How is your day going? Are you okay? Do you need to sit up, unclench your jaw, let go of those booty cheeks? You're probably squeezing those booty cheeks real hard, or you got a real ugly face right now. Fix it. Pause, take a deep breath, and let's get into the topics today. Let's breathe together and in, out. Let's do it again. Inhale, exhale. All right. Anyways, I hope that helped you. I sometimes find myself either in a bad posture or like just have a little face or just a little tense overall. I know for me, I have a resting face. So sometimes I may look mean, but I'm far from that. I'm just either thinking in la la land or just my face is just hard. So lately for me, for life updates, I am about to join a new church. I am doing some online modules. And what does that mean? Basically, I am learning about what the church believes in, what they would like for me out of a member in the church, and to also let them know that what I would want out of church and why I decided to join that church. I believe it's a good thing to be grounded and rooted to a church. It's been so long since I've had that opportunity to do so. Before, the church that I was going to was a really good church. It was in Orlando, Florida. Very small church, amazing pastor. When I say small, it probably had like 50 or less people going there, and now it's probably less. And the reason why I stopped going is COVID changed a lot of things. You know, online church was like such a convenience, but I didn't feel as grounded and the services didn't feel the same for an online church. The messages were always good, but I just needed that connection. So being that, you know, in New York, there's a church I've always wanted to go to and I've been to it numerous times. It's just very far. The church is called Christian Culture Center in East New York. Amazing church. It is led by Pastor A.R. Bernard, who is also a doctor as well and a teacher. I try to find a church that is Bible-led and not a church that just rants about whatever or have that cult-like following. Not every church is the same, so I'm just very particular in the church that I join, being that I want to invest myself into it. And what I mean by invest myself to it, I'm not only talking about tithing, I'm talking about volunteering, helping out other people, getting to know other people, because a church is a community, and in that community, it requires you to be involved. So I am now joining a church called the Renaissance Church. It is in Harlem. It is a great church. Lots of young people. The pastor, to me, I love the way he teaches, and so are the executive pastors. They teach very well, in my opinion, Bible-led, of course. There's always scripture. There's always biblical sound and example. I prayed about it. I've been going there probably like 3 or 4 months now, and I've been going pretty consistently every Sunday. I'm over there and I love it. At first, my mom was like, why don't you just join a Haitian church? And it's legit a good question to join a Haitian church, because my aunt goes to a Haitian church and it's like probably like 5-10 minutes away from the house. But to be honest, I do not feel connected to a Haitian church. Now, if it's like a Haitian American church, that's different. And it's not that I'm saying I'm not connected to my culture. I just don't like a lot of the way Haitian churches are ran. And it's something that I don't want to necessarily pursue right now or be a part of. I know I could probably be a change maker, but I ain't trying to ruffle no feathers. I like what I like. I enjoy what I enjoy. And I have been to so many Haitian churches growing up that I'm just not really swayed by them or just moved to root myself to the church. But anyways, like I said, I prayed about it. I'm joining this church very soon. And I am honestly very excited. Probably think it's about joining. You're excited about joining a church? Yes, I am. It's been a long time coming, and I'm excited because I'm going to be rooted to a church, and I want to be able to grow in the church and, you know, do something at a certain capacity, because I know that God has called me to do something for him. And it could, this may not be at the church, but it's going to be in the capacity that one day I'll be able to explain. Until then, it's between me and God. I just want to mention it. And if you're looking for a church, or if you need, if you feel as if you need to join a church, don't procrastinate. Don't sit on it. Don't wait forever. Don't make excuses. Stop with the excuses. Actually pursue it and try to find a church. The thing about churches, I guess it's a good thing, but it's a good or bad thing. There are so many of them out there. You will find one that you need. You just have to make sure that you're not settling. You're not going to church just to go to a church. You're going because God has told you, this is your church. This is where I want you to be rooted. This is where I want you to grow. This is where I want you to spread your wings and sprout and do all this stuff. Because it's a very serious commitment to do. And so many of us go to church in passing. Since the pandemic, churches have, the attendance has gone down drastically, because it is convenient to just turn on the computer or turn on the TV and play church service there. But the experience online versus in person is completely different. Like, when you meet people in person, it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is like a much better experience. Or when you meet somebody in person, I'm like, oh, this is not what I expected. So it's good to get that in-person interaction, because it can help you when making your decision. But aside from that, I'm also doing this thing called a slow Sunday. I used to have busy Sundays doing a lot of things, because I used to just designate my Sundays to having like a Sunday fun day or Sunday running errands. But I want to just have a slower Sunday, since summer is coming up and the week will be packed full of things. And also, like, after church, I want to be able to calm my mind. Growing up, after church, you would go home, eat dinner with the family, watch TV, nap. And for me, being that I went to Haitian church, around 5 or 6 o'clock, I would get ready to go to church again. Now, I'm not going to church 2 times in one day. If you do, you do. If you don't, I understand. I just want to be able to slowly submerge myself back into myself and relax. If that means just walking around, getting some good food, hanging out with a friend, just enjoying a beautiful Sunday full of rest and relaxation. That's what I'm getting back into, and that's what I want to do. And it may not always be every Sunday like that. And I know some people decide to do a Sunday reset. One thing about me, I keep my cleanings to either a Monday or a Saturday, any day of the week, depending on time, but Sunday. Sunday are my slow days. I wish I could cook dinner on Sundays, but my aunt does that. I mean, I love Haitian food. I just wish it wasn't as heavy, because y'all know I'm trying to watch my figure and whatnot. And we're going to talk about that as well. But I am implementing a slow Sunday. Think about it. In the most recent series at the church, they have something called Commissioned. That was the title of the series, and it talked about working our works and how our faith goes together. And the past 2 Sundays, the message was about rest and how we just work so hard as Americans. You know, I do believe that U.S. is a ghetto, and the U.S. is truly a third world country trying to catch up with everybody else. Thus, the reason why we work so hard. We work so hard because when you think about it, America is still a new country compared to other countries. And we have so much catch up to do, so much debt. We're cosplaying so many countries. We're trying to do the most and sometimes not doing nothing at all. And it's very detrimental to constantly be on that hamster wheel, working and working and working. So for me, my Sundays are rest, relaxation. This past Sunday, me and my friend, we went to a park in Brooklyn. We got some pizza. We had this blood orange soda from Trader Joe's. We ate pizza, garlic knots, catched up, drank. It was non-alcoholic. I'm slowing down on alcohol completely. Not saying I don't drink. I do, but I want to be more of a casual drinker. I just don't like drinking alone, to be honest, but I love to make a good cocktail. Anyways, I say that talking about alcohol because I saw my friend on Instagram. She's like, she's doing this month of no bread, no pasta, no dairy, no alcohol, and a few other things. And I'm like, you know what? Let me try. Because right now I'm trying to have abs by August. And I'm not sure. I don't recall if I mentioned it on a previous episode. But when I say abs, I mean, I know it's plural, but saying ab sounds weird. But I want to look, I want that line that looks like abs are about to form. I do see them, but they're not as defined. I'm not saying I want Teyana Taylor, Lori Harvey, all of that. I just want more of a defined stomach. Flat stomach is one thing, that'd be nice, but just a little something, something, you know? I feel like it's possible. Of course, when it comes to your body, diet is what, 80%? Exercising is 20%. We live in a country where our food is so questionable. So there's that. I plan on starting most likely June 3rd. I was thinking about starting Juneteenth, but I'm like, I don't want to put it off so long that I'm just going to forget about it. I want to start it as soon as possible. So I'm just going to mark it on my calendar. And being that I'm going to be doing that, I also need to write some recipes because I will unknowingly forget that I'm not eating bread or pasta or rice. Oh, I almost forgot about rice. Rice may be a little bit hard for me because I know my aunt's going to look at me sideways. Listen, when you tell a Haitian person you're dieting, they literally just think of, oh, you want to be sexy. Yeah, I am sexy and I want to be sexier. But the key about this is I just want to be healthy. Rice is not the end all be all, okay? Now, that may offend some of my Caribbean people. I get it. I truly do. But we consume way too much rice. And as always, I saw a TikTok video. This lady was measuring her rice. She made a delicious meal. And then she measured her rice. And then she was like, yes, rice is a side, not a dish. For Haitian people, they will first plate the rice in the middle, a bunch of rice, and then put the chicken on the side, a little bit of veggies, not like just veggies from the freezer. And sometimes there's veggies in the rice, so I guess that's a substitute for them. And then sometimes they may give you a salad with iceberg lettuce and big chunks of tomato and a bunch of ranch. And it's like, this is not really the way to go about things. I believe that Haitian food can very much so be vegetarian or vegan so easily, but Haitian people love chicken. They love oxtail. They love a good protein. And I get it. I love protein too, but let's peel it back on the rice. For me, I don't like eating the same thing too many times because it doesn't make the food, doesn't make me want to savor it. It's like, oh, I had this already. Actually, I had this a few days ago. Actually, I have this way too many times that I don't think I want to have it anymore. Sorry to sound as if I'm jumping from topic to topic, but I forgot to say this. But also a part of my slow Sundays and being out and about on weekends or weekdays is that I love coming home and it's not too dark or it just got dark. I don't like being out too late. People are so weird. And there's just something so satisfying about being home before 9 o'clock. Like I've showered, I'm clean, my skincare routine is done. I've already ate. I'm having like, I don't know, maybe I'm eating ice cream or maybe I'm about to put on a good TV show. It's like, I love that. It just feels like I got everything accomplished, and like I mentioned before, I'm waking up earlier, so I get tired really fast. So I'm loving that as well, and I'm implementing that into my slow Sundays. As summer is quickly approaching, the people want to be outside. I want to be outside too. One thing about me, I love to be outdoors when the weather is nice. Disclaimer. But for this summer and forever, if we're going to be dining, I'm either dining in AC or we're doing a rooftop. I am not dining on the sidewalks. It's a no for me. Unless we're people watching and we're just having drinks, we could do that. But I'm not eating a whole meal on the sidewalk. Again, it's a no for me. But I'll definitely do a rooftop vibe. I love a rooftop party. I love a day party, preferably for paying R&B. is just, to me, it's like a whole vibe. And I love a good vibe. It's also keeping up with friends as well. I have reacquainted myself with a few people that I either went to school with or I knew in school, or we met like sometime around college or whatever. And it's like, oh my gosh, I know a lot of people and I want to be very intentional about the friendships. And as I'm being intentional about the friendships, I'm meeting more and more people. And it's like, I love people, but I want to be a better person when I meet people and not like completely ghost them. But it's just hard managing friendships and relationships, because the thing about managing those things is that you still have other people in your life. And I think I'll be good at it. I'm not going to worry too much about it. I'm just going to take it one day at a time. I'm a big person on scheduling stuff, because I could be very forgetful and I have a lot going on. So for me, it's like, oh, what day you want to hang out? Okay, what time works for you? All right, let me put on my calendar. It sounds so corporate. It sounds like a lot, but it truly does keep me organized. And it had, like, in a way, not in a way, it has me looking for something to look towards too. So it's, I know, like, on this date, oh, I'm hanging out with a friend. So that means this day I got to recharge. Oh, I could budget like this. So when I go out, I'm not spending too much money. Because the thing is, when you're going out with people, it's like, okay, what are we doing? Because if we're going out to eat, child, we're going to be spending at least $60, $70 or so, depending on where we go. Sometimes it could be cheaper than that. But a day in New York, ugh, dollar signs, okay? That's what I'll say, dollar signs. I feel like this episode has been so chatty, but I'm getting back into doing podcasting. I'm like, and of course it's going to sound chatty. You're the only one talking. But lately, well, not lately. Actually lately, because it's prom season and graduation season. They're around the same time, because every state has a different timing for it. So you're just seeing it all over your timeline on whatever social media website that you're on. Extravagant proms. Listen, as a girl who never went to prom, I'm here for it. I love it. It's amazing. Some of it may not be for me, but I love to see Black people doing the most for big events. Yes, step out, show out, do what you have to do. I know a lot of people have comments and they're saying that that's a lot of money being spent, blah, 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 blah. Listen, it ain't my money. It ain't my problem. I'm just a person who likes to spectate and like to see what's going on. And I'm impressed. I have no option but to stand, because what? I'm a fan of it. I love it. The mom who had like that birthday, not birthday party, but that prom pre-party for her daughter who got a full ride to UCLA, had Ace of Spades bottle, all that stuff going on. Listen, if I have the money and my daughter's getting a full ride, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you, because I know you're a good kid. I know you're a good daughter, and you deserve these things. Black people deserve good things. Black people deserve nice things. So if they work for it and they can afford it, let them do it. It's not about what you would do if you had the money. Because let's stop there. If you had the money, right? If you had the money. Don't hate on what people have. And yes, there are people who, you know, do the most and don't really have the money for it. And those people, eventually we find out about them. But it is what it is. I know some people were, as well as myself, I expected the prom dress to be more. But to me, it looked like a very elegant dress, very calm. And the thing about the dress, what I love the most, is that it looks like she can wear it again. It looks very formal, very black tie. She seems like a very classy girl. And hey, I'm here for it. And normally I don't say you like it, I love it, but I love everything about this. And shout out to mom for doing the most, setting the bar for her daughter. Because one thing about me when I become a parent is that I set the bar. I'm not going to let people from the outside set the bar for my child, for my child to be like, oh, I want this, oh, I want that. They might be inspired, but I'm the person who's going to execute it by the grace of God. So there's that. That's my two cents about that. Rest in peace to Tina Turner. It was a shock to me. I have not seen her documentary. I do not know much about her life. I've never seen the biopic that Angela Bassett did for her. So my homework is to watch either the documentary or watch the biopic based on her. Her music is amazing. I am more familiar with her music than anything else, but just not familiar with who she is as a person. I also am not sure on what week we are on, but the writer's strike still continues, unfortunately. And if you don't know what the writer's strike is, basically the Writers Guild of America, the WGA, it is a union to make sure that writers have a fair wage, fair rights, and fair pay. Being a writer on TV or film is not easy because it is a gig job, meaning that when they're writing for the show, you have a job. Once the writing is done, depending on what level writer you are, you might be needed on set. You might have another job you can do, but it is a job based on projects. So when you're not writing for a TV show, you may be writing for your own TV show to sell or pitch or whatever. It's a constant battle. Writing, period, is not a well-paid job. It could be a very stressful job, and you're probably wondering, why do I want to do it? I want to do it because there's stories to tell, and it ain't do something I'm going to be doing for a long time. I want to write at least one TV show, one movie, work on a talk show, make my money, and go into real estate. It is not something I want to do for a long time because I have a lot of things I want to do. I want to funnel that money into my dreams, into ambitions, and move on to do something else. But for people who want to be writers, it is a beautiful job because you're creating stories. Look how great look how amazing we have some TV shows. Some TV shows are just so amazing. It's well written. We think about the directors. We think about the executive producers. We think about the actors. But we always miss out on the writing, which is a part of the art itself. So for the writers who are on strike, kudos to them. I really want to join a strike, but they do it out of the whim and out of nowhere. And when I hear about it, I'm already doing something else. But I hope that they come out victorious and all their demands are met. These companies and publications have the money. I know it's expensive to film a TV show. I get that. But the writers shouldn't be cut out of the large pays. Yes, the directors are needed. But at the end of the day, who is telling the story? That's all I'm asking. Who is telling the story? Because at the end of the day, the writers got to write, and the actors got to play, and they got to read those scripts. They got to learn the scripts, and they have to act. You can't really act without a script because we don't do silent films anymore. So we're all in this together. So pay them accordingly, please. The least they could do. And as we're talking about TV, they just wrapped up Succession. I don't like the way it ended, but we'll talk about that. Going to put a pin in that. We not going to get too much into Snowfall because the show has ended quite a while. But if you have not seen Snowfall, get into it. You can watch the entire season on Hulu. It is a mature show. So I don't know if you let your kids watch it or just wanted to let you know. It has violence. It has sex. It's a show about drugs, y'all. So it has everything in it. I still haven't seen the last episode of Power Book 2 Ghosts. Too many titles, too many names. Keep it simple. But I plan on watching that today, so I will be diving into that. And we're also going to talk about Selling Sunset, which is more of a reality show. I started watching Selling Sunset during the pandemic, and the show was so good, and it made me want to get into real estate to the point that I actually paid for a class that I never completed. Shame on me for wasting money like that, but I just simply did not have time due to my job. And Selling Sunset is a good show, but it's getting bad. I still recommend people to like watch it. It's something you would just watch or play in the background or something. The drama this season was just so, didn't care for it. But you may think that's every season. I like seeing the houses, but the houses are starting to look the same more and more. I don't like these modern takes of homes. They're just boxy, they're ugly, and they're like, do you actually even live here? So that's my opinion about selling Sunset. And now we are diving into the main topic of the podcast. It is something that has been on my mind heavier as I, well, before I turned 30, to be honest. As a woman, you're always wondering, when am I going to actually have children? And some days I'm like, do I want children? And I quickly answer myself yes, because I do imagine myself with children, of course, with a family, because I ain't doing it alone. Okay, God forbid I be a single mother. If you are, you are. It's just not something that I want to pursue. And I know some people, they didn't have any idea or any pursuit to be a single mother. It just happened. I'm just clearly saying that it's not something that I want to do. And there's no fault in that. So I hope you don't feel offended if you are a single mom hearing that I say that, because it's hard. There are certain things that are challenging that I want to do because it'll make me a better person. But being a single mom isn't. And to the women who are single mothers, you're my hero. You are my hero. And I don't say that in any ill or shady way. I said what I said. Salute. Now, as someone who is 30 years old, who has older parents, my mom is going to be 67 this year. She had me at 37. And I'm like, I know for sure, even when I was a young child, I didn't want to be an older parent because I want to be able to see my kids grow up and potentially see grandkids, not putting pressure on my kids having grandkids, but that's, if it's a possibility, if something they want to do, I would love to be there for them. It's just having kids. The question is always, child, when? As a woman, it's something that we decide about with our partner because it's something that we truly cannot do alone. Is it possible to be done alone? It is possible. You know, some women, they do seek having a child outside of a marriage or a relationship in terms of they want a kid and they are okay with raising that kid all by themselves. So for some people, they have the funds to do that. For me, I know I don't want to have kids no later than 34 years old. And as someone who is 30, what does that mean? The time is ticking. Time has been flying. Time is flying. So it's not me more pressure to have kids unnecessarily. It's a question of how am I going to be able to provide for them? When is this actually going to happen? I know it will happen for sure, but like, girl, when? And honestly, it's something that I'm just giving to God each and every day and telling him what I don't want so we can collaborate together and I could follow him in his will. I am in a relationship. We're not married or engaged. So it's a conversation that's been surprisingly a little bit more consistent and heavier for us. I know for me, when I do get married, I want I want 2.5 kids. And you're probably wondering, what is 2.5 kids?
I have been praying to God that I want two kids, a boy and a girl. The 0.5 is either a dog or a cat. I want a pet. I'm a pet person. I love cats and I love dogs. Anything else is not a pet. It is an inconvenience. And yes, dog or a cat is an inconvenience because what if you want to travel? Listen, there's daycare. The thing is, the things I want in life is that I have to be able to fund them. I don't want to have them and struggle to keep them. But as I was saying, I would love to be blessed with healthy children that I can raise to become adults. And the fact is, you'll never be 100% ready for children. You might be financially ready and have an amazing job with you and your spouse. You might have, heck, everything set up, but there is an emotional baggage that children bring, and it is because you have brought a whole human being into the world, and that's a whole new personality with a whole social security number, with ties to you until they're 18 years old. And as humans, we come with emotional baggage sometimes. A lot of times we don't get along because we just don't see things eye to eye. We're all different and that's okay. It's natural. It's normal. It's just that, are you ready for it? some people think that, yo, I could send my kids to the best schools. I could do this for them. I could do that for them. A lot of times what kids gonna want from you is time. So you have to make time. I know a lot of moms, I don't know a lot of moms, to be honest with you, but what I hear from moms more on mainstream or on social media is that, yeah, one spouse might bring home the bacon, but that same spouse who bring home the bacon, their job is to also be a parent. It takes two people to have a child. And I'm referring to people who are married. I don't want to talk too much about people who aren't single. And I know, like, and how are you an expert on this topic? You don't have no children. I am a person who observes. So I am learning from others. So before I jump and say I want to have kids, I'm learning from the people around me. Because the people around you will teach you. What they do, how they live is a lesson itself, a free lesson. So for me, I'm always taking notes on what to do and what not to do, because I don't have to repeat mistakes that people told me about. But when it comes to raising children, I know sometimes the burden falls a lot on the mom, on raising them, spending time with them, doing this with them. And it took two people to have one child, or twins, or how many you have at one time. If I could have twins, a boy and a girl, I don't know how my body's gonna look like, but I'm gonna do it. If they will be born healthy and happy, and safe, I'm gonna do it. Okay? Knock them out the first time. Knock two out the first time. All right. Do I need to sew it up? Do I need to close it up? Do you need to have a little tuck and snip it out? Let's talk about it, you know? I always feel like when you say you have two kids, you have three kids. That's why I say I would love to have 2.5 kids, because they might be 3.5. Just saying. But if it's gonna be 3.5, we might as well make it four, because then I probably want two pets. Just saying. Anyways. For you, who's listening, and male or female, how often do you think about having children? And what scares you the most about having children? And this is such a long conversation that could be had. But for me, I'm going to keep it short, because there's only so much I can say because I don't have children. But what I see is that to raise a child to be an adult, to become an adult, you know, from being a child to being a teen to being an adult, money is key. It is very important, but it will be the time and the lessons that they learn from you will be the biggest investment. Because if you're not teaching them, spending time with them, learning who they are, they're getting it from someone else. And wouldn't you rather that your own children learn life lessons, become a person from you, versus becoming someone from a stranger that they don't know or someone that you don't trust? That's something that I always think about, because I want my kids to be able to come to me and have certain conversations. I'm not saying that I want to be best friends with my kids. I don't have any plans on being my kids' friends, because I'm a parent, but I want to be able to have that relationship where I can talk to you. Growing up, I didn't have that relationship with my parents. So I'm trying to have that relationship with people in my life. I do need to do a better job when it comes to my siblings. It takes time and it takes effort. For me, when it comes to like siblings, I'm just better in person, okay? Like, we all have different schedules. My brother's living in Spain. He's 6 hours ahead. My other brother works so hard. For me, I work on it. We have a family vacation coming up, so I'm going to show up and show out. And I'm a big sister, so I got big responsibilities. I love when Angela said that. But anyways, think about this topic. And I know on social media, there is this thing about people who are proud not to have kids and this, that, and the third. It all depends on you. At the end of the day, I believe when people say they don't want to have children, I respect it. I will never say, oh my gosh, you should have children and push children on people. No, because the reality is not a lot of people need to have kids. I'm sure some of y'all know people who have kids and just say that you should have never had kids. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you do that to us? Why would you do that to the world? So definitely something to think about, you know, out of this subject, out of this topic. Take what you need, think about it, ponder about it, and actually start journaling about it. If you're dating someone, you're serious, start talking about it and to see what are their views when it comes to having children. And if, you know, you're married to somebody, you don't have kids yet, have that conversation. For me, like I said, the first 2 to 3 years of my marriage, probably 2 years, no kids. We can have a pet. It will be dual income, no children. Because I feel like, I just want that time where it's just us. We're married. It's just us. We're doing things together. We're not worrying about a babysitter, putting a baby to bed, changing diapers, pregnancy cravings. We're just doing us and enjoying us. Because from what I'm seeing, what I'm learning, and what I assume is that when you go from being married and having kids, you missed a time. And that time, by the grace of God, you may get it back when you become an empty nester. But it's different. When you're young, you want to do so much with your spouse. And then having a child, it kind of takes that away. And then there's some people who travel with their kids and they like that. But I'm pretty sure, I am 99% sure that it is much fun, much easier, much enjoyable to travel with your spouse with no kids versus traveling with your spouse with kids. That is something I can debate, and I don't have to have kids to debate on that. But anyways, this basically concludes the episode of Take What You Need podcast, as we're talking about so many things. These are conversations I would love to continue. So feel free to DM me on Twitter, DM me on Instagram. You can't DM me on TikTok because I don't follow you back. I won't see nothing. Very interesting. I sort of kind of like that, but I don't. Overall, I don't. But we may or may not continue this conversation in the next episode. But for now, talk to you later. Thank you for listening. And if you haven't, please subscribe to the podcast. Ratings are greatly appreciated for the podcast. And if you feel like you like this podcast, maybe love this podcast, go ahead and slide through with a review. But anyways, thank you for listening always, and we'll talk later. Bye.